The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, great job, ladies. Brother Mason, if you turn me up just a little bit, that would be super. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 1. If you think about it, this is a sad story, a very sad story. The Bible says, "When I would have healed Israel." So God is getting ready to heal Israel, and then something comes up. God begins to see something. Now, God sees everything, and God sees all things. So it's not just something that just dawned on God, and God said, "Ooh, I did not notice that before." But the Bible says, "When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered." Look down at verse 2. The Bible says, "And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness." Now, we know, you know just as well as I know, that unconfessed sin, God is going to remember. But once you confess those sin, God takes them and he casts them into the depths of the sea, and he remembers them no more. I'm so glad that when I got saved, I did not have to come to God and confess every sin. He forgave my sin from then on, and every time I come to him and I ask God to forgive me of an iniquity and forgive me for a sin, he takes it and he gets rid of it, and he never remembers it anymore. I wish sometimes I could not remember my iniquities. I wish sometimes I could not remember my sins, but God cast them into the depths of the sea. But here, they were not confessing their sin. They were not asking God to forgive them of their sin. And God said, "Guess what, fellas? I see it, and I see all of it." And here's what's sad. They consider not in their hearts that I remember their wickedness. It's a sad day when a young person or when an adult doesn't even consider God in their heart that God sees us and God knows us and thou, God, seest me. And God sees everything that we do and God knows everything that we do. They didn't even consider that in their heart. Look down in verse 7. "They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none," this is sad, "among them that calleth unto me." It's a sad day when you go to a church or when you go to a nation or when you go to a city where there is none among them that calls unto God. I hope Parkside Baptist Church can never be considered a church that none in the church will call unto Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be at Parkside Baptist Church. I'm thankful we have soul winning at Parkside Baptist Church. I'm thankful we have Sunday school at Parkside Baptist Church. I'm thankful we run the buses at Parkside Baptist Church. Then we come to the verse of the sermon. Ephraim, this is very dangerous. He had mixed himself among the people. Ephraim had mixed himself among the people. Then he said, "Ephraim is a cake not turned." Now, I do not know much about cooking, and I do not know much about baking. I know a whole lot about eating what is cooked and eating what is baked, but I don't know a lot about cooking. I love it. Little kids come up to me and they'll give me cookies, or even somebody will have leftovers and they'll bring it over to the office and say, "Hey, this is for the staff," and they'll start with me and the whole tray disappears. Isn't that right, Brother Kyle? Yes, the whole tray just disappeared. He goes up to my wife and said, "Hey, what did you think of those cookies?" She said, "What cookies?" Okay, yes, I love eating. Eating is great. But have you ever eaten something or taken a bite out of something that wasn't cooked? Now, when it comes to raw cookie dough, that's a little different. I went to a restaurant one time and they said, "How do you want your burger?" I said, "I want it well done." They said, "Do you want any pink?" I said, "No pink. I want it well done." A little while later, they come. I cut into my burger. I lie not. Blood came out of the middle of the burger. I looked at her and I said, "I wanted it well done." She said, "I am so sorry." And she took it back. And I know it's the cook's fault because it said on the receipt, "Well done." So she took it back and she brought another one out. I cut into it. Second burger, pink in the middle. I felt so bad for that waitress, but I looked at her and said, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I really cannot eat this. I cannot bring myself to eat something that is not done. Can you please bring me something that's well done?" You see, God looked at Ephraim. And Ephraim, he looked at him and said, "Ephraim is a cake not turned." So I had to ask a lady one time when I first preached this sermon at a junior camp. And I asked the lady, I said, "What did they mean by a cake not turned?" And she said, "They didn't have all the supplies and ingredients and the stoves that we have these days. And so when they would bake a cake, they would stick it over the furnace or over the fire. They would have to pull it out, turn it, and then stick it in and cook the other side. Aren't you ladies glad your ovens cook from both sides? And so she would have to take it out, literally turn it, and cook the other side. So God was looking at Ephraim and saying, Ephraim is a cake not turned. A cake not turned. What in the world does it mean by a cake not turned? It meant that Ephraim was done on one side, but not done on the other side. It meant that Ephraim was okay on one side, but he was not okay on the other side. God was looking at Ephraim and saying, you're all right on one side, but on the other side, you're not all right. Ephraim, you're a hypocrite. You talk one way and you walk another. You say one thing and you do another. You are talking on both sides and you can't live that way. You see, God looks at somebody like that and says, I want to spew you out of my mouth. Ephraim was not a finished product. And God was upset with that. Ephraim was not a completely done Christian, and God was upset with that. So I'm going to illustrate tonight a little bit about Ephraim. So I'm going to get where's Brother Lofton at? Brother Lofton, get your Ephraim up here. It was funny, when I was talking to him a little earlier about Ephraim, he thought I was talking about Brother Perales, Brother Ephraim Perales, and he said, you know, put Brother Ephraim in that pot, you know, but anyways. So he's going to bring Jeremiah up here. Jeremiah's going to sit in this pot up here. Where is Ben? Ben, get up here. Ben is going to represent God. Now, God does not look like this. God does not talk like this. Please do not go home tonight and say, the pastor's son introduced us to God in the flesh. No, this is not God in the flesh, okay? We are created in his image. Not all of the image is name-wise. Okay. So let's get him in that pot. This represents us. Jeremiah represents us. Jeremiah, you're doing good, aren't you? You're doing good. Okay, sit there. Are you there? Are you okay? Okay. You want me to turn the oven on? He said yes. Okay. So we have God. God represents God. Ephraim represents us. God wants to use us. Would you agree? God wants to do a work through us. But do you realize God can only do a work through those that let him do a work, through those that are willing to let him do a work? So you'll take them, you'll get him started for the baking, okay? Get him started for the baking. Put a little flour on his head and you get it up in there, if you don't mind, that towel there. Okay, get it good. Spread it out and all that kind of stuff. Okay, get it good. All right. Don't breathe it in, Jeremiah. Just sit there. Oh, there we go. There we go. All right, that's good. That's good. Thank you. You can go sit down. This is Ephraim. God looked at Ephraim and said, Ephraim is partway done. He's not all the way done. Have you ever bitten to a biscuit that in the middle, it was doughy? I mean, you just take a bite. The outside is all brown. It looks really golden brown. It looks really good. Then you take a bite in the middle, and it's almost like you put butter in there and you put the jelly in there. But when you took a bite, it was yellow jelly. I mean, it was just, you took a bite out of the thing, and it just drooped. It's just nasty. You see, God was looking at Ephraim, and God was saying, Ephraim, you're half done. Ephraim, you're a half-baked Christian. That's the sermon tonight. Don't be a half-baked Christian. Ephraim said, I want to do what I want to do, and I want to go where I want to go, and I want to be what I want to be, and you can't do that. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The Bible says in Revelation 3 and verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So God says, I'd rather you be something or the other, but not in the middle. Don't ride the fence. Don't straddle the line. He says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You will never see a happy Christian that hasn't involved themselves totally in God's will. You'll never meet a happy worldly Christian. You'll never see them. Hey, they come to church on Sunday and they're all spiritual for God on Sunday. And then on Monday, they do what they want to do and they go where they want to go. And they have nothing in their heart that considers their heart towards God. Just like the scripture said, they did not even consider in their heart that God was watching them. Shame on us if we come to church on Sunday and then we go on Monday and we don't even consider in our heart that God watches us and God sees us. And thou, God, see me and you watch me and you see everything I do. Shame on us. Shame on us. Ephraim is a cake not turned. He's a half-baked Christian. Our churches are too full already of half-baked Christians. We don't need half-baked teenagers. We don't need half-baked children. We don't need half-baked parents. We don't need half-baked Christians. We need Christians that have simply decided, I'm going to get all the way in this thing. I'm all the way in for Parkside Baptist Church. I'm all the way in for serving our man of God. I'm not a half-baked Christian. I'm not a half-baked Christian. We have way too many half-baked Christians in our churches these days. Parkside Baptist Church should be different. Christianity should be different. What happens when you get half-baked? How can you tell if a Christian is half-baked? How can you tell if he's not all the way done? How can you tell? Number one, you begin to compare things. You begin to compare things. You remember the story of the young man, Eutychus. He was sitting in the window. Why was he sitting in the window? Paul is up there preaching. The man of God is up there preaching. And here's the teenager sitting in the back row, texting on his stone tablet. He's sitting up in the window. Why in the world was he sitting up in the window? I'll tell you why. He wasn't totally in. He wanted to see what was going on outside in the street as well as what was going on inside the church house. He was half-baked. He was half-baked. And when you're half-baked Christian, you begin to compare things. And I've got news for you this evening. Nothing compares. Nothing compares. You see, you will never see a Bible preacher comparing the gospel to another answer or another solution. You'll never see a Bible preacher doing that. Why? Because there's only one solution and there's only one answer, and that solution and that answer is Jesus Christ. You see, you cannot compare truth with fiction. It never measures up. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Hey, if you know the truth and the truth makes you free, guess what? That means the local church cannot compare to the invisible church. That means the blood cannot compare to the tub. The conversion does not compare to communion. The King James Bible does not compare to other books or other versions. Baptism does not compare to sprinkling. Personal evangelism does not compare to lifestyle evangelism. Standards do not compare to legalism. Discipline cannot be compared to abuse. Preaching cannot be compared to teaching. Traditional music cannot be compared to contemporary music. And Jesus cannot be compared to good men. Why? Because the truth cannot be compared to that which is fiction. You can't compare it. You can't compare it. Nothing compares to blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. How can you compare that with rock and roll? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. How can you compare that to something in the world? Nothing compares. Nothing compares. Nothing compares. But I got news for you. So many Christians in our churches these days, they begin to compare things. Why? Because they're riding the line, and they're straddling the fence, and they're saying, I'm not totally in this thing. I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with that. Why? They haven't totally yielded themselves to the complete surrender of God's will, and they're half-baked. They're half-baked. You can't be half-baked and be happy. I promise you, you cannot be half-baked and be happy. I love eating food that is perfect. Why? There's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. We were eating. I take my wife out to eat once a week, particularly on Fridays. That is our date night. I take her out on Friday nights, and we be sure we go to a restaurant. Why? Because that's something my dad always taught me. Always have a date night with your wife at least once a week. So I would take her out on Friday nights, and it never ceases. It never stops. We'll get in there, and she'll say, you're going to be moaning when we leave. You're going to be moaning when we leave. Why? There's nothing like good food. There is nothing like good food. Hey, when you come to church, did you realize you're eating? You are feeding yourself? You should be moaning when you leave Parkside Baptist Church. Why? Because the food you're being fed is so good, you filled yourself up to here. You can't help but overstuff yourself of the goodness of God. You can't help but overstuff yourself of the preaching of Dr. Mike Wells. You just can't help it. Why? It's truth. You know why some people come and they never fill up? Because when they come, they're already full. And it's not Jesus Christ. How in the world could you come to Parkside Baptist Church and expect God to use you when you're already full of something else? How can you come to a great Parkside Baptist Church and expect God to speak to you when your heart is focused on something else and something's blocking your vision from even looking at the preacher and something's blocking your vision from even hearing the preacher? How in the world? I'll tell you why. Because you're already full of something else. What happens when you're half-baked? You begin to compare things. You begin to compare one church to Parkside Baptist Church. You're a member of Parkside Baptist Church. Amen. If you're a member of Parkside Baptist Church, why compare? Amen. You realize, okay, I love my church. I love my church. Are there other good independent Baptist churches out there? Yes, there are other good independent Baptist churches out there. But I am telling you this, some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. In basic children's department terminology, they're dumb, okay? You just can't compare yourself to other churches. You shouldn't do that. You say, well, we hit almost 800 in Sunday school and they ran 80. You cannot compare yourself to another church. You just keep doing what God wants you to do and you just keep pressing forward. There are other good independent Baptist churches out there. But here's what you think. If you're a half-baked Christian, you begin to look at what that church does with their pastor leading them and compare it to what our church does with our man of God leading us. That is wrong. If you continue to do that on a weekly basis or on a daily basis, you begin to compare things. Guess what? You'll never be totally involved in Parkside Baptist Church. You'll never be totally involved in behind our man of God. Why? You're half-baked. You're half-baked. You can't do that. You begin to compare things. Nothing compares. You take Coke Classic. RC Cola does not compare to Coca-Cola. There is a difference between the real and the fake. A big difference. You could not. There is a difference between Sam's Cola and Coca-Cola. There's just a huge difference. There's a big difference between root beer and Dr. Pepper. One is real and one is fake, okay? There's just a big difference between the two. You cannot compare. I didn't say which was real. I don't compare. I'm not half-baked in that area. But nothing compares to the real deal. Knockoffs have tried to compare themselves to Coca-Cola and they can't do it. They don't have the original formula. That's how come being baptized does not get you to heaven, because that's not the original formula. That's how come going to church doesn't get you to heaven, because that's not the original formula. You see, you can't compare the real with the fake. It never lines up. You cannot compare real mashed potatoes to instant mashed potatoes. A preacher was preaching one time and he gets up and he's telling the story. They walked inside a restaurant and his daughter said, "Oh, Daddy, we gotta leave, Daddy." He said, "Why?" She said, "Don't you smell it? Don't you smell it?" He said, "What?" She said, "Instant mashed potatoes. We gotta get out of this place." You know why? Nothing compares to the real thing. We live in a society where we want everything instant. Instant mashed potatoes, just add water. Starts out with powder, just add water. You got mashed potatoes. No. Instant this, instant that. The instant milk, powdered milk. You add water and you have milk. I mean, that's just disgusting. Then one day I walked down the infant section and I saw baby powder. And I thought, no, we haven't made it that far. There's no way. But we have instant everything. Instant this and instant that. And you want the things now and you can't have them now. And you get upset because you can't have it now. And then you get upset at your children because they want something now, when all you do is complain about things that you want now. And you wish the preacher would do this. And you wish the preacher would do that. And you wish the bus director would do this. And you wish your Sunday school teacher would do that. And you wish your youth director would go this way. And you wish the college faculty would go this way. And guess what? It's not about us. We have one pastor at Parkside Baptist Church, and that is Dr. Mike Wells. We brought him here. I followed under him. I came with him. I wanted to follow under him. You say, but you're his son. Yes, but he is my pastor. I seek counsel from him as a member to a pastor. Yes, I ask him for advice sometimes as a son to a dad. But there's so many times I go to him as a member to a pastor and I ask his advice. Why? He's my man of God. Amen. What happens when you begin to get half-baked? Jeremiah, you okay? Are you sure? You ready to get out? That's what I thought. Okay, Daddy, can you come get him? All right. Y'all give Jeremiah a hand. He did a great job. Woo! Shake your head real good. Shake it real good. Shake your head real good. Not your hands, your head. There you go. All right, Daddy, you can get him. Thank you. Number one, what happens when you get half-baked? You begin to compare things. Number two, what happens when you're half-baked? You get bored. You get bored. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it's dusty in here. The preacher asked me to preach tonight and not in the new auditorium. I don't know why. He just knows I use a lot of illustrations, okay? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and quick and powerful and quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How can you get bored sitting under a book that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? How in the world? You go home and you watch TV and you sit there and you watch that video game and you're like, man, this is so intense. But my Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I've got news for you this evening. This thing's intense. This thing's intense. The only reason you don't see it is because you're half-baked. And we cannot be half-baked Christians and sit under the preaching of the word of God and expect God to fill us and expect God to speak to us and sit there and compare things and sit there and get bored. I'll tell you why you're bored. I'll tell you why. You're half-baked. You're half-baked. You realize Parkside Baptist Church can have an incredible revival if everyone in Parkside Baptist Church simply decides, I'm in this thing. I'm in this thing. I'm behind that man. I'm behind that pulpit. I'm behind what he has to say and what he stands for. I'm in this thing. You ever seen a has-been Christian? Say, what is that? They sit around talking about the old days. You ever seen those kind of Christians? Well, I remember the time when we did this, and you know, they just ain't doing it like that anymore. Did you realize the printing presses a lot of times don't print black and white anymore? Well, I remember the time we had black and white tracks, and you know, this is just liberalism if we're printing in color. I saw an interesting quote on a billboard at an airport, and it said, printing in color retains the reader's attention 80% longer. Why in the world would you want to print something that does not retain the reader's attention? Why in the world would you want to print something in black and white if it doesn't hold the attention as much as it does in color? Can I tell you, every vision this man of God has, it's based on the Bible. And that vision that that man of God has, you just simply decide, I'm in this thing. I'm on board with him, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to do exactly what he wants me to do. I'm not going to be half-baked. I'm not going to be half-baked. Those has-been Christians. A lot of times we would go to churches. We went to this one church one time, a huge, beautiful building. A lot of elderly people in that church. When we left, I mean, they hardly had any teenagers at all. At all. Zip, zilch, nada. No teenagers. And as we left, my dad told us, he said, the reason that church hasn't grown is because they're focused on all the things they have done instead of focusing on the things that they should be doing. You see, you press toward the mark. How in the world can you look back towards a mark you've already hit when God says, press toward the mark, toward the mark. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. Keep getting better and keep advancing and keep leading people to Christ and keep going soul winning and keep reading our Bible. You say, I remember when God spoke to my heart. Hey, if you read your Bible a little more, he might do it again. I remember the time when God used me to lead that person to Christ. Oh, it's such an amazing story. I know it happened 5 years ago, but let me tell you about it. Hey, did you realize you could have had one this week if you had gone soul winning? We provide so many opportunities. Take your Bible. Look at it. Look at this. This is good. Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. I didn't think I was going to go to this one, but that's okay. Leviticus chapter 6. I want you to see what God told them to do with the offering, with the sacrifice. Look at the Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, that's pants for you guys, shall he put on his flesh and take up the ashes that the fire had consumed with the burnt offering. So here's the story. God told the priest, he said, once you've made the sacrifice, you change your clothes, it's a new day, change your clothes, take the ashes that you have collected from the burnt sacrifice. Here's what he said to do. Look down in verse 11. and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. Why? I'll tell you why. Look down at verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Have you ever seen an old wood-burning furnace? How do you have seen a wood-burning furnace before? Okay, put your hands down. After so long, guess what you have to do with the ashes? You have to get them out. If you leave the ashes in there and keep adding logs, guess what's going to happen? It's just going to smother itself. It's not going to keep burning. So the only way it can keep burning is if you get the ashes out and remove them. You say, what are you talking about? You see, ashes, listen to this, ashes are the evidence of yesterday's fires. Ashes are the evidence of yesterday's fires. You see, we have so many people sitting around thinking, man, I remember what we used to do, and I remember the campaigns, how they used to be, and I remember how we used to run that church bus, and I remember how we used to do this. Hey, I got news for you. It's time you take those ashes, get rid of them, take them to a clean place like you do with a trophy, and you take that trophy. You don't sit that trophy in your doorway so that you trip over it every time you go by. No, what do you do with that trophy? You take that trophy, and you put it in a clean place away from everything else. Why? Because you've got new trophies to earn, and you've got new rewards to earn. Hey, it's time we as Christians take a stand for Jesus Christ and say, I've got new rewards waiting for me in heaven, and I'm going to keep sowing him, and I'm going to keep sowing him, I'm going to keep sowing him, I'm going to keep reading my Bible. Why? Because ashes, I don't want the ashes in my life. I want to keep burning. I want to keep burning for Jesus Christ. See, what happens when you are a half-baked Christian? You begin to compare things. You begin to get bored. Now, we've done all the negative. Let's do the positive. How do I keep from being half-baked? Are you ready for this? Don't mix yourself. It's easy. Don't mix yourself. Look down in Hosea chapter 7, verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. What was Ephraim's mistake? He decided to do his own work in his own life. He decided to do his own mixing in his own life. The only way God can do a great work through us is if we let God do the mixing. You see, he's the chef. He's the chef. Let God be the chef. Let God add the ingredients to your life. You say, but you don't understand. That ingredients just didn't sit well with me. And that ingredient just, it just made me feel sick. No, but you see, God, he knows everything. And God, he created everything. And God knows exactly what he's doing. So let's just simply decide, hey, I'm not going to be half-baked and mix myself. I'm going to be wholly baked and do what God wants me to do. So how in the world can I keep from being half-baked? Easy. Don't mix yourself. Don't mix yourself. Where did he mix himself? Among the people. Among the people. You see, my Bible says we're supposed to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. You say, what does that mean? That means our language should not match the language of the world. That means our music should not match the music of the world. That means our appearance and our apparel should not match the appearance and the apparel of the world. That means our hairstyles should not match the hairstyles of the world. You see, we're supposed to come out from among them and be separate. Come out from among them and be separate. Come out from among them and be separate. I was walking around Walmart one time. Hey, I love singing. I love whistling. I'll hum. I'll sing. I'll do all sorts of stuff. All sorts of stuff. Yeah, thank you, Brother Powell. I'm crazy. I was walking around Walmart, and I was whistling or humming at Calvary or something, and somebody came up to me, and here's what they said. What church do you go to? I wasn't even in a suit and tie, but I was whistling a hymn. And so they came up to me, and they said, what church do you go to? You say, why? How did they know that? I'll tell you why, because we're supposed to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Here we go. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, here is what I want God to say of me as a Christian. I don't want God to look at me and say, hey, I was going to bless Parkside Baptist Church until the iniquity of Jonathan Wells was discovered, because he didn't confess his sin, because he didn't get totally involved. I don't want God to look at me or God to look at you as a young person. You should be sitting there and thinking, I don't want God to look at me and not bless Parkside Baptist Church because of me. That's what God said about Ephraim. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. You see, Ephraim did not do what God wanted him to do. Look in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. The Bible says, his Lord said unto him, get this, say the next two words with me, well done. His Lord said unto him two words. Say it with me. Well done. Hey, say it again. Well done. Say it again. Well done. I sure do one day want God to look at me as Jonathan Wells and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It ought to be your goal in your entire Christian life that you go through life and say, one day I want God to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done in your soul winning. Well done with your servant's heart. Well done in your prayer life. Well done in your Bible reading. Well done in your Christianity. Well done in your faithfulness. Well done in your love for others. Well done in your forgiveness. Well done in your tithing. Well done in your giving. Well done in your charity. I don't want to be a half-baked Christian. I don't want to go through life saying God's going to spew me out of his mouth. No, I want to be a well-done Christian. A well-done Christian. We need some more well-done Christians at Parkside Baptist Church. We need some more well-done Christians in the entire nation of America. We need some well-done Christians. I was preaching on the teen bus. I like preaching on the teen bus. It's a lot of fun. Some of you parents may get tired of me bugging your teenagers to go out soul winning on Thursday night. Please don't get tired of me. You've got to realize that's the only time I get with them, and I'd like to invest a little bit in them, so that's why I'll keep on begging them, okay? I was preaching on the bus on Thursday night, talking to the teenagers about giving God everything you've got. See, I want one day God to look at me and say, well done. Have I made mistakes? Yes. And I am sad and embarrassed to say right now, I will make more mistakes. But I am so glad that God looks at me and says, I can still do something through you because it's not us. Did you realize a lost person can lead somebody to Christ? Because it's not them, it's the Word of God. I led people to Christ before I got saved. Say, how is that possible? Because it wasn't me that saved them. It was Jesus Christ that saved them. It wasn't me. But yet, just to sit down and think of the fact that God, knowing everything about your life, knowing everything you're going to do, knowing everything you're going to be, says, I still want to use you, and I still want to bless you, and it doesn't matter what happens, I still want to use you. We need well-done Christians, not half-baked. When I was thinking of the sermon, I started thinking of Brother Stead. He came to preacher and said, hey, preacher, you know, I don't know if I can, you know, bus captain anymore. I hope I'm not telling anything personal. I don't know that I can be a bus captain anymore. I'll continue to drive the bus, but I just don't know if I can handle the responsibility of being a bus captain. So he stepped down from being a bus captain. Then he goes to preacher and says, hey, preacher, I really would like to be a bus captain again. You say, what is that? That's a well-done Christian. That is a well-done Christian. I would want my children to model after someone like that. You point your kids to people like that. Say, look at Brother Stead. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him carrying all those trays of cookies all by himself. Look at him. Go help him out. Go be a support to him. You be his little bus minion. You go over there and you go help him. You go help him out. See, we need some more people like that. We came from a church in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. There was a bus driver there. He had been driving a bus for 30-plus years. I mean, a long time. His name is, I almost said was, his name is Carol Tussey. We would go and we'd knock on doors. I knocked on door one time. Said, hey, I'm out visiting from Grace Independent Baptist Church. My name's Jonathan. This is my partner. Do you go to church anywhere? And here's what they would say at that door. And that lady said, does Carol Tussey still drive a bus at that church? And I said, yes, ma'am, he does. He does. Wow, he used to drive my kids to church. And I'm looking at that lady. I'm thinking, man, that lady is really old. I wonder how long he's been driving a bus. He's been driving a bus for a long time. Long time. We were out, you know, pumping gas at a gas station. Do y'all know what those little levers are for the gas pumps? Those are so you can pass out tracts while you're pumping your own gas, okay? You just flip the lever under there and you pass out tracts. That's what it's for. It says, do not leave pump unattended. You just make sure you just keep watching it while you go pass out gas. I mean, pass out, woo, pass out tracts. I promise you, I will make mistakes in the future. Back to my story. Before I mess up again. Pumping gas. Went out and started passing out tracts. And this lady rolled down her window and I was going to hand her a tract. And she said this at a gas station. Is that the church where Carol Tussey goes? I just said, yes, ma'am. And here's what she asked. Does he still drive the bus? I said, yes, ma'am, he does. We were at another church in another town, I mean hours away from Grace Independent Baptist Church in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. We were at a restaurant, and preacher's really good about this. He hands out tracts to people as he's leaving the restaurant. That way we don't get kicked out as we go into the restaurant. And so as we're leaving the restaurant, he went over and he handed the people at this table tracts, and they asked him this question. This is not, I mean, not even in the same town. I don't even know if it was in the same state. They said this. Is that where Carol Tussey goes? Not even in the same place. And here's the next question out of their mouth. Does he still drive the church bus? You know what's so neat? Is every time we were asked that question, we were able to tell them, yes, he still drives a church bus. You know, I think we could go to China and they go, oh, you know Carol Tussey? Yeah, yeah. He still drives church bus? Yeah, yeah. He drove me? Yeah. Underground? Yeah, yeah. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew him. And everybody knew he was still doing what he had done for 30 years. I've got news for you. Hey, Brother Stead, everybody's going to know exactly what he's been doing for the past 20-something years. Why? And they're going to ask the same question. Hey, does he still work in the bus ministry? And you know what's so neat is we could still tell him, yes, he still works in the bus ministry. We need some more young people that'd be like a Brother Stead. We need some more young people that'd be like their preacher. We need some more young people that'd be like the older people here at Parkside Baptist Church that God can look down and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We need some more well done Christians. We don't need back row sitters. We need front row sitters. I remember going to conferences, and I mean those preachers' boys and everybody, they would wave their Bibles in the air. Those ladies would wave those hankies all over the place. I thought, wow, I love this. I love this. I was never allowed to sit away from my family. I always had to sit on my family row. Kids could sit with us, but we couldn't go sit with them. That's just exactly what my dad did. We just couldn't go do that. But I loved going to church and seeing young people sit as close to the front as they could. That always impressed me. Why? Because preacher can get on to you if you're talking or something like that. You know what's a shame? Now, I'm not getting on to all those teenagers that don't sit up front, but what I'm saying is, it's a shame when you sit in the back so you can talk. It's a shame when you sit in the back so that you can hide what you are doing. That's a shame. You say, what is that? Half-baked. Half-baked. Do you realize the potential of Parkside Baptist Church? If the young people of Parkside Baptist Church will simply decide, I want to be well done. I want to be well done. Me as a child, I want to be well done. Me as a teenager, I want to be well done. Me as a young adult, I want to be well done. Me as a married individual, I want to be well done. Me as an older individual, I want to be a well done Christian for Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Amen. That's exactly what I believe our preacher is looking for at Parkside Baptist Church. Every time he opens this book and every time he pours out his heart, he's trying to help us be well-done Christians. He's trying to help us be well-done Christians. Now, you have a choice tonight. Either you can allow the cooking of the chef to make you well-done, or you can decide to mix yourself. You can decide to allow the preaching of your pastor and your man of God to help you be well-done, or you can try to mix yourself. Is our preacher perfect? No. He'll tell you that all the time. But I promise you, his heart is pure gold. His heart is pure gold. And he loves each and every one of us, and he tries to help us. What's sad is when people don't let him. That's what's sad. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. How are you tonight?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.